One of the things that I remember when I was talking to the kids, it's on my first church plant, the kids name it The Love of God because of a song that they learn movement for it. And when Sunday morning, after they learning, parents who were from Catholic background ask, where do you want to go? And they said, to the church of the love of God. So, you know, those little things, like reading the scriptures also, will give us opportunities to keep developing the love of God and leadership among children. So thank you to everybody who had to do with it. Thank you. And remember, you are loved. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for your precious, precious works in our lives. We know that we depend on you, that everything happens with a purpose, and that we always can count in your love to go around this planet in this journey until you comes for us again, or we go to you in an earlier time. So I ask that you use your servant as you please to help us remember who we are and in whom we trust. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And the epistle for today, according to the common lectionary, talked to us about Easter. Didn't you remember that Pastor Angie told us last week that we will continue to talk about resurrection? Well, yes, we are people of resurrection. We are Easter people. The difference from the Easter celebration that we enjoy in Holy Week is that if we remember in whom we have trust, we will every day of our life remember who we are and what has been entrusted to us. In 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 20, today's reading, we find a discussion about the resurrection of Christ and what it means for believers. Here, the Apostle Paul argues that if Christ has not been raised from the dead, our Christian faith is in vain. That's a really tough statement to the Corinthians. Well, and clarifies also that Christ's resurrection is the hope of us, all resurrection for all believers. We know that the scripture tells us that when Christ come again, the people who have died in him will be raised before, and then whoever is still in this planet will join them in the clouds, right? So there's hope. if we trust in the Lord with all our being. So yes, trust in the Lord is manifested in everything we do. And we also remember that all the thing we need to do is resume in one thing: love God and one another, our neighbors. If we trust God, we ought to live by that commandment. And it is beautiful to do it. And this church is a living testimony of what it truly means. And I want now for you to give you an applause. Yes, give your hand, because that's really beautiful before God and one another. Because we are sharing that love that enables us to give it to every human being, regardless of their backgrounds, of their situation, of how they are at the time, that we have the opportunity to share that love. And God is pleased with you every time you do it. So that's another beauty of trusting in God. This event with the currents and with the apostle and this scripture has concrete implications for us and the world. Christ's resurrection as the first fruits, God's transformative work, which gave us the assurance that it will culminate in the believer's resurrection. My brothers and sisters in Christ, here Paul presents a complicated argument where Christ's resurrection is a core part, the basis for Paul's question. Now, if Christ is proclaimed and raised from the dead, how can some of us human beings could say there is no resurrection of the dead, like some currents were arguing? Well, look at verse 12. You will find it there again. Several responses has been posed to that statement. Some of these Corinthians did not see a clear correlation between Christ's resurrection and the resurrection of the dead. They were unable to grasp that meaning. Therefore, in today's passage, Paul highlights what implications Christ's resurrection had for those Corinthians and for us today, of course. So, in order to address the problem posed in that verse, number 12, you can look at it, Paul is presenting a hypothetical scenario. Let's think about it. Let's picture it in our minds. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then the resurrection of Christ is impossible. Turn to verse 13. In case that such statement was true, Paul's proclamation and the Corinth's faith would be in vain once again. So, beloved of God, resurrection of the dead is the foundation on which the existence and the future hope stand. No doubt for us here gathered today, but the Corinthians had a group that were in doubt. Thankfully, we have the Holy Scripture to teach us about it, and God uses a human being like us to tell us what the truth is. The Apostle Paul in this case, and the way that God used the Apostle Paul could be used for any of you to receive understanding and revelation in the Spirit to also tell us the truth of Jesus' resurrection in a way that will be more fit for us today. Because even the way we talk, we express ourselves, we communicate, changes over time. So we can probably think about the way that the youth talks. They have different ways to communicate. And we might remember that when something was beautiful to us, we would say, "Oh, how nice." But now we can hear, "Oh, that's cool." Doesn't it mean the same? With different words. And go figure with a Puerto Rican lady how many changes you could hear in language coming with me to people, because we do have a lot of differences in our language, even in Spanish, from Spanish-speaking countries to Spanish-speaking countries, and even more from the Spanish language to the English language. But something funny that happened to me in 2015 was that by God's grace, I was able to go to England to the Wesleyan pilgrimage. My goodness, that English, I assure you, is different too. Oh my Lord. Now, suddenly the apostle reversed his argument. Take a close look to the "but now" in verse 20, where Paul transitions from condemnations to the revelation of God's righteousness through faith in Christ, trust in the Lord. I had a guy once told me that why Christian people proclaim that we are going to be before God's judgments if they have attained salvation and life eternal. Why is the difference on doing that if those who doesn't believe in God are the ones who deserve it? And I laughed and I said, "Well, relax and enjoy the moment." Oh, that's another say, and that comes from one of my nieces. I learned it several years ago. So I said, you know what? Yes, we all are going to experience judgment. Jesus will do that according to the scriptures. But there's a difference. For those of us trusting God, there will be no condemnation. However, for those that doesn't feel, believe, trust like us, that'll be a different story. Even the word sin, as it was written in the first versions, had a different connotation. Originally, that three letters that today we know as sin were different, because that would include the opportunity to pay a bond. Yes? So even so, there is still hope for those who repent from their wrongdoings and attain life eternal because of their trust in our Lord. Because God loves us in a way that will give us, even at the last times, the opportunity to receive the salvation of our souls. There's a difference. For Christ has become the first fruit of all who have died in him. For us who have truly believed that our Heavenly Father, by pure divine grace, gives us salvation and life eternal. When we acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God incarnated and confess him as our Lord and Savior, that he is alive, resurrected, and that the time will come when we all indeed with feast at his heavenly banquet, we are trusting by faith in the resurrection of the dead. Do you really trust in him? Not like those Corinthians, but today, after we have heard the proclamation of the word, the living word, do you trust that he lives? Are you resurrected or Easter people? Do you really believe it? Do you really believe that he lives? I don't hear an amen anywhere. Yeah. Hey, there we go. So, because we believe he lives, then let us stand as you're able, and let us sing it out loud.